Well, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. We're probably going to be finishing this morning. Can I get those back doors closed, please? I appreciate that. I made a comment last Sunday, I believe, or maybe Wednesday night, I can't remember, I just remember making a comment. If there's a particular book that has interested you in the Bible, I need to specify that, in the Bible that you really want to learn through Sunday school, please let me know. I would search those out. I will do the study if that's the direction you'd like to go. And I think it's important to include you folks into something that you want to study. And I think it'd be very beneficial for me. It might be something that I might stay away from, but I'm always up for a good challenge. And that's why we're going through the book of Revelation on Sunday nights. I'm up for a good challenge. So that being said, how are you folks doing this morning? Good? You glad to be here? Does the sunshine make it better for you? It sure does. I enjoy the sunshine. I enjoyed it so much yesterday. My motorcycle's been at my mom's house since November, and I was like, you know, it's a good day to bring it home. And Q, I got on that bike. It was nice. It was better than being on the golf course, to be honest with you. Nothing like being out there in the wind and your hair's going. Some folks in here don't have an idea what it's like for your hair to go that direction, but folks, that was funny. Well, anyway, let's begin reading here. Again, we're going to go back to verse number 18, and that's where we're at last week as well. But God has got so much here for us to look at. So we're going to begin, let me go back to verse number 10, I'm sorry. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus and Dalmatia." Verse number 11 says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with me, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." You go down through verse number 13, it says this, it says, "The cloak that I have left at Troas with Carphus, when thou comest, bring with me, and the books, but especially the parchments." Verse number 14, as we talked about last week, he talks about Alexander the coppersmith a little bit. He says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." It says, "Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man withstood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." In other words, what Paul is saying here, I take no offense. Lord, please go easy on him. That's a good illustration there. Let's read verse number 17 down to the end of this chapter. And now I'm going to probably butcher a few of these names. You guys are aware of those things. So if I do, just laugh out loud. I don't care. It won't bother me any. Verse number 17, it says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Doesn't stop there. He goes, "Salute Prisca and Aquila and a household of," you figure that one out. Verse number 21, I'm just going to skip that. It says, "Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens and Linus." I'm thinking of Linus from Charlie Brown. Folks, forgive me there. And it says, "And all thy brethren." Verse number 22, it says, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to discuss this matter this morning. I have 16 points that we're going to get through. Again, don't worry about the points. We have a good amount of time for us to get through everything, and we'll go that direction. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be back here this morning. I thank you for your people, for their faithfulness to you. Lord, I just pray this morning as we come down to the end of this chapter that we see an important message here that Paul is delivering to Timothy. I don't want anybody to miss it. So God, I pray that, first of all, that the distractions that are in here would be removed. I pray for our teachers across the way and down in the basement, and our nursery workers, Lord, I pray that you just be with him during this time, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Well, as we get through this morning, I always like to give the title of the message, because sometimes I don't give it, but I think it's important to do it. Here we see that God delivers. This is what I don't want anybody to miss this morning, because if we miss this morning, then this whole book of 2 Timothy that we've gone through has been a waste of time. I'm just being upfront with you. So, first of all, God delivers. So here's some things that we need to understand as we close down with this book here. The people that God brings into our lives are here for us to grow. Could we be in agreement with that? No matter who they are. But unfortunately, we put stipulations on things, and if someone doesn't look according to how we want them to look or act or smell or whatever, or do the things that we want them to do, we kind of write them off. But God puts people in our lives for us to learn something from them. I had a great meeting here a few months ago, and Chris and I, we went down to Florida, and we went through a timeshare meeting. That was a blast. I tell you what, I was kind of nervous about sitting through a timeshare meeting. Has anybody ever sat through a timeshare meeting? So you guys know what I'm talking about. Isn't it fun? No. No. I had a blast. I kind of scared Chris with a little bit. I said, you know, it's really not a bad idea. She goes, no, Chad, the answer is no. No matter what it is, it's no. But as we went through our meeting with them, I really had a great time, because the guy that we had really made it enjoyable. That makes a difference. And I believe he was from Argentina. And we actually exchanged phone numbers. We text periodically. He made mention. He says, Chad, he goes, I have a firm belief that no matter who is in our life, and this is coming from a non-believer, he says, we're to learn from them. And they're there for our benefit. You know, and that's how we need to view people. They're there for our benefit. They're there to help us grow in every situation that we go through in our life. So with that being said, I'm going to encourage everybody in here this morning, take advantage of the people that God has put in your life. Because of this reason, one day they're not going to be there. And you're not going to be able to learn from them. You're not going to be able to have their wisdom to have in your life. So take advantage of those things and say, man, God's given me you in my life, you, me, in my life, and I'm going to take advantage, and I want to grow from you. And Paul's getting to this stage here because he said some things about an individual. He's talking about Mark specifically. He says he was what? Profitable to me for the ministry. So we're all profitable to each other. So with that being said, moving along to my second point here, and that is this. We need to start seeing the value in each other. Could we be in agreement with that? Amen. Folks, if we don't begin to see the value in each other, then what's the point in being around one another? Think about that. Every single one of us has value to offer. And we need to seek that in our lives with each other. Everybody's valuable. Man, there's some things that I go through, and I know that you go through. And what do we hear so often? Hey, could you please do me a favor? I need a prayer. What's that telling you? That's telling you that person thinks that you're valuable to them, and they depend upon your prayer in their life. For what reason? Well, so first of all, maybe they can have comfort because they're going through a difficult time in their life. Or maybe they're experiencing some financial woes. You know, a lot of people don't go into their financial situations with others. But sometimes they feel comfortable enough to let you know and say, man, I value your prayer, and I'd really like for you to seek the Lord in this area. So we all have value, and we need to take advantage of those things. So let's continue to move right along as we go through this. When others do us wrong, I want you to write this down because this is important. It's not up to us to take vengeance out upon them. Oh, but our mind is what? Fleshly. And so because we have that mind that is fleshly, when somebody does us wrong, what do we want to do? We want to get even with them. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is it our responsibility to get even? It's not. Matter of fact, it would do us much good to try, I heard this word, I think Wednesday night, to try and serve them instead of trying to take vengeance out upon them. Could we agree with those things? I had something happen to me this week that I wasn't expecting to happen. I'm just driving along 9th Ave here, I believe it was Thursday, you know, where they're doing all the construction down there by the golf course. And the lanes, they're marked pretty well. You got an arrow that tells you if you need to turn. You got an arrow that tells you if you need to go straight. Isn't it amazing that as old as we get, now we have arrows to remind us what we need to do? Well, there's a reason for that, because we're forgetful. And sometimes we're in a hurry. Well, I was actually on the phone with my wife this time, and I was just driving down 9th Ave, and I heard something, and it sounded like a rock that went underneath the fender of my vehicle. We all get those sounds as we're driving along the road. We have those sounds of a rock hitting our windshield. I didn't think nothing of it. I looked in my rearview mirror, and I noticed that I got this guy right behind me hugging my bumper, but he's also sticking further out into traffic, about 3 feet out, as if he's wanting to pass me. I'm thinking, what a nut. There's oncoming vehicles. Well, what's he thinking? Well, he backed off a little bit, and then I went about my business, and I noticed that he was following me. Isn't it amazing we notice when people are following us? Man, it's like we watched a lot of TV back in the early 80s, watching Hunter and the A-Team. Hey, we're being followed. You know, it's not that difficult. When somebody keeps turning, when you're turning, you're being followed. Well, anyway, I didn't know what was going on. I got out, and I didn't see anything wrong at this particular time. Didn't notice anything unusual. I noticed that he parked about a block away from me, and he's looking at his vehicle. I'm thinking, man, this guy is strange. It's early in the morning. Is he missing something? So I go about, and I go a different direction, and he's right in front of me again. I'm like, what is going on? He's just looking at me, Q. It's just weird. So as he goes on, I pull over, and I get out, and I notice, you know what took place? You know that sound I heard? He sideswiped me. And I had no clue. Now, he didn't do any damage to the vehicle. It's kind of like a bumper car type of a deal. It just did some scrapes right along the edge of the truck. No big deal. But I was mad. I'm like, you nut. What are you doing? Get back here. But I'm thinking to myself, as time gone on, you know, wait a minute. You know, mistakes happen. You know, nobody was hurt. The vehicles in our lives, they come and go. We keep our vehicles 5-6 years, and we're done with them. And no big deal. Some people keep them for a year. They're done with them. I say that because I'm looking at Jordan as he's smiling. But anyway, I was like, man, I wanted to find this guy. Well, it's not my job, Q, to take vengeance out on somebody. That's up to the Lord. But when people do us wrong, it's not up to us to take vengeance out upon them. You know, give them to the Lord. So let's continue to go on. Not everyone will walk the same path that you do. You know, even in the life of a believer, even though that we all have one thing in common, and what is that? The Lord, okay? So even though we have the Lord in common, guess what? We still don't walk the same path. Why? Because every single one of us in here, God created us differently, and we all have different convictions. You know, that's one of the things that it's been very difficult for me to learn and understand, is everybody has different convictions. Hey, just because someone has a different conviction doesn't mean they're bad individuals, does it? But people begin to think that. You know, there's some people that have problems with movies. You know, you've heard from this pulpit that, you know, my dad, he didn't like going to movies. You know, I'm gonna be frank with you. Going to movies don't bother me. You know what bothers me? Giving them $20 to see the flick. Paying an extra $9.50 for the thing of popcorn. That's what bugs me. You're saying you're a horrible person if you go, oh, wait up. Just because you don't see it in a theater doesn't mean you don't watch in your home. Because that's what normally happens. When it's out and it's being released from the theaters and it comes home, everybody's watching their homes. How do you think we all watched Superman back in the day? You know, we waited for it to come back into the television. Not everybody walks the same path that you do, but it doesn't make them a bad individual. And unfortunately, we look at people different, and here's what happens. People get abandoned. We abandon people because they don't believe the same way that we believe. We're all in this journey together, are we not? Our goal is not to go around and be so judgmental what you do and what I do. Our job, realistically, is to, as part of the church, is to edify each other and to encourage each other. That's our job. Let's be frank here. Would you want to go to a church where you're constantly being judged? Folks, I had to look myself in the mirror. And I said, why would people want to come to church if I'm constantly judging them? And I've come to realize that, hey, we're all just together. We're all on the same path. We might be taking different directions here and there, but it's not my job to forsake somebody and abandon somebody because they don't feel or believe the same way I do. Could we be in agreement with that this morning, or we can agree to disagree on that one? I'm seeing some head shakes. So let's continue to move along, because this is where Paul was at. Paul had some discord with some of these men that were in his life, and they parted ways. I told you last week, some of the ways they parted is because God called them into different areas of the ministry. But Mark and Paul, they had a dispute, and they went their separate ways. Yet they believed in the same God, but they had a little dispute, and they went their way. They abandoned one another. Well, what should have Paul done? Well, I'm going to tell you what Paul should have done, and it's the same thing that we should do in these situations. It's our responsibility to pray for those who have done us wrong. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is not to go out there and say, you fool, you can't be doing this, you're so wrong, you're so corrupt. No, our job is to pray for them and let the Holy Spirit do the work in their life. See, the Holy Spirit's doing work in Paul's life that we're not really seeing here, and I'm trying to bring this morning. Because for years, Mark and Paul had a dispute, and they separated ways. And now Paul is to the point where he's dying. This is the last book that he wrote in the New Testament. And now he's realizing, hey, I've had some error. I've had some wrong in my life, and I want to make it right. And he's saying, hey, Mark, he was beneficial to me. So it's our responsibility to pray for those who have done us wrong. And as we pray for those, and we dealt with this a little bit Wednesday night, we should also be forgiving them as well. What's unforgiveness? Unforgiveness is in direct dissension of Jesus Christ. That's what we learned the other night. And if we don't forgive, what do we find out? We were holding ourselves in bondage. It's just better to forgive. Let it go. And let it be. But unfortunately, we're great historians when it comes to arguments. We like to go in the past. I think it would do us all some good when we come in this type of a situation. You're going to laugh, but here's what we need to do. Forgive, let it go, let it go. There's just no other way around it, folks. Let it go. I know I just quoted a movie, Frozen. And some of you folks don't know who that is, and I just age myself saying I still like cartoons. Paul, in verse number 17, was very thankful. Verse number 17 says this, says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Okay, here's the great thing about that. Even though that there is a separation, even though men forsook Paul, guess what Paul realized towards the end of his life? The Lord never abandoned him. The Lord never forsook him. But what's it say? It says, the Lord did what? Stood with me. To me, that's very encouraging. Because we go through our life, we feel like we're so alone. Who felt alone this week? Who felt alone? Can I say something? To those who felt alone and the ones that are being honest, because I know there's probably more in here, you're not alone. Why? Because Christ is standing there with you. He's right by your side. He goes everywhere you go. It says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. But not only did he stand with him, but what's the rest of this verse say? It's the Lord strengthened him. Why was Paul giving recognition to this? What did Paul suffer in his life a majority of the time? Persecution. He suffered persecution. Do you know that when you go through persecution, whether it be physical or emotional, you become weak? And what did he recognize that the Lord did? He said, man, the Lord, he was faithful. He was always by my side, even when I thought I was alone. But I was never alone because he stood with me. But he did something that was even greater than that. He gave me strength. We all go through our day not realizing that we need something. You know what that is? We go through our day not realizing that we need strength from the Lord. And reality is, in order to get through our day, we need God to give us strength. And that's what God did for Paul. Here's what we need to look at with this verse. Paul is really taking the time, and he's given Timothy a very valuable lesson, and that is this. Praise God for what he's done in your life. Praise him. Give him recognition. Give him glory for the things that he has done. Why? Because he doesn't have to do those things. And Paul was very grateful that the Lord stood with him. He was very grateful that the Lord gave him strength. Goes on and says that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Well, why would he say that at the end of this verse? Paul's missionary calling was, first of all, to the Gentiles. But in Paul's life, every time he went into a town, where did Paul go first? He went to the synagogue. Who was in a synagogue? The Jews, exactly. And every time he went, the Jews were offended. And they wanted to do some horrible things against Paul. And at the end of this verse, Paul recognizes this and he says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So in this verse here, what Paul is saying here is this. There is only one true friend, and that is who? Jesus. So you might be having a thought that goes through your mind. And you say, well Chad, I've got my spouse. We've been together 30, 40, 50, 60, 80 years. Isn't that my one true friend? Can I ask you a question? I might regret this. But have we not been let down by our spouse? I know that sounds funny, and I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble. But I'm trying to make a valid point here. Jesus has never let us down. He's always been our one true friend. What am I saying? I'm saying even though you've been married for so many years, Jesus is the only true friend that we all have. I know my wife's my dearest friend. I know that. But I also know this. I let her down, and she lets me down. But I also recognize that we have one friend that's in common, and that's Jesus Christ, our one true friend. So that's encouraging. So we sing a song, and maybe we don't really put a thought into some of the songs that we sing. I'm thankful for the songs we've sing here in our church. These writers, they go through so much in their life to get them to a point to write a song down. But I'm going to say something about these people real quick. Not every song that we sing comes from a Baptist background. A lot of these songs are written by some Methodists, some Presbyterians, some Catholics, some Pentecostals, and they have some very great, deep meaning behind them. And I know some people, they won't sing songs because, well, this isn't by a Baptist. Oh, okay, can I be a devil's advocate here? Just because it's done by a Baptist doesn't mean you know their heart and what they do behind closed doors. That's just a thought to think about. But anyway, that wasn't in any of my notes. But we sing a song, and that is this: what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, we're pretty fortunate here this morning. We're able to call Jesus our friend for what reason? Because he chased us. He knocked on our doors, and we finally gave in to the Lord. We surrendered to his will, say, okay, Lord, I'm done running. I'm yours. I want to live the life that you want me to live. And when that takes place, then we're brought into, we come into a certain point where we're finally able to sing a song, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a beautiful song. I enjoy singing that on many different occasions in my life. You know, I find myself singing that during funerals. You want to know why? Funerals are sad. Have you ever thought about the first three letters of funeral? It's fun. F-U-N. There's no fun in funeral. Someone's died. Our English language is weird. You think I butcher some stuff. But anyway, what a friend we have in Jesus. And here's what I appreciate about this phrase here. We put conditions on people in our life. Well, I'm not going to be their friend. They don't look or act the way that I want them to, so I'm going to put conditions on them. Jesus is a friend who does something that we should have in our life, and that is this: love unconditionally. Love unconditionally. Why do I say that? Because Jesus pursued us when we're the rottenest of sinners. Jesus pursued us and went into places that we would go into to take us away from those things because he loved us unconditionally. Think about that. Do you think maybe the song came from this chapter here? Maybe the songwriter was reading this and saw what Paul went through, and Paul is finally realizing, man, what a friend. I went out and I killed people. I went out and I imprisoned them. And I put markings upon their body. I did some horrible things. But I have a friend in Jesus who loves me unconditionally. Praise God for that. Well, I'm looking at the time here. And you might be wondering, what point am I on? Well, I'm getting to point number 9. We'll get through this, don't worry. There is a message that the world needs to hear. And even in the darkest moments, we continue on. Paul continued on. He faced some hard times. He's coming to a point in his time in his life where he's going to be martyred. But here's what we need to do. I was asked for our men's retreat that we're doing here in September. By the way, I encourage all you men to be a part of this. If you've never been a part of a men's retreat, it's going to be in September 28th of this year, Thursday, Friday, come back Saturday. I've been to some fairly big ones. But I like what we've started here, and it's pretty small. We've got about 5 churches that's going to be involved this year. We only got about 30 people that's going to be coming. But it is intimate. It is a great time. And I've been asked, what is our theme this year? And my theme came from the study that we're doing here in 2 Timothy, and here it is: go forth. Go forth. Even though times will get tough for us, here's the message that Paul is trying to give to young Timothy. Go forth, because the Lord will be our deliverer. He will deliver us. This is what I didn't want you to miss as we end this passage here. Paul is pouring himself into Timothy with this letter because he knows the ministry is very discouraging, and he knows it's very easy to quit. For those who've not been involved in the ministry as far as being a pastor, an evangelist, or missionary, you might not know what this means. If you've been a Sunday school teacher, a bus driver, the cleaning personnel in a church, whatever, you will understand this. It's discouraging. And there are times where it's easy to quit. I had a text Friday. Hey, pray for me. I'm really having a hard time listening to God about staying. So I called back. I didn't send a text. I called back. I said, is it Monday? And I didn't know about it. Because that's usually when most preachers get so discouraged. Monday morning, they want to quit. Why that is, I don't know. But with that being said, the Lord is our rescue. The Lord is our rescue. Not only is he our rescue, but he is our shelter. Those are two words that we really don't put much thought into it. But where do we go when we are trying to get away from a storm? We seek shelter. We seek a place of safety. And Jesus is our place of safety. Here's what takes place. Here's what I want you to see. He will stretch forth his hand over us to deliver us from evil. Doesn't say that we're not going to go through evil, but he will deliver us from evil. Paul had experienced this many times in his life, and with these words, he is giving Timothy hope to continue. It's discouraging, isn't it? There are times where we want to quit. There are times where we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but can I reassure you this morning from Scripture? The Lord's with you, and he will deliver you. No matter what you go through. We might not see it at the time that we're going through that storm, because we don't see that during the storm. But after the storm, we're able to say, wow, God had his hand upon me the whole entire time. Here, I doubted him here. I shared something with you a few years ago when Dad was going through one of his stints in the hospital after he had his surgery about 5 or 6 years ago. And roller coaster, up and down, getting all these phone calls and this, that, and the other thing. And stress this, stress that. And I remember driving over to the hospital. I'll never forget this. As if the Lord spoke to me himself. I know he did speak to me. I was talking audibly. I heard this voice. And it was like this. Stop doubting me. Stop. I have you. I'll take you through this. I'm taking you through this. I'm with you. And I'm going to deliver you. And that's very encouraging. I'll never forget that experience as I'm on the interstate traveling over to Bergen Mercy during that time. The Bible doesn't tell us serving Christ would be easy. I don't see that in Scripture. Do you? Hey, I'm a born-again believer. I'm a child of God, and now I'm on easy street. I can just kick back, and I'm just going to enjoy the show. No, being a believer, you're going to face some difficult times. There's some times you're going to feel lonely. There's some times that you're going to be very discouraged. And there's some times where, where's that quit button? I want to hit that, and I want to be done. The Bible doesn't tell us that it's going to be easy. But I will tell you what the Bible guarantees us, that he will be with us through the storms. We're guaranteed that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise from God. So no matter what you go through, if you're facing a battle of cancer, if you're facing some financial difficulties in your life, if you're facing some tough times with your family, guess what? God will see you through it. He will deliver you. And with this thought, and we'll be done. You guys didn't realize, but I just went through about 8 points in about 4 minutes. But until he comes, here's what we need to do. Continue to encourage each other along the way. Continue to encourage each other. We all need it. Who's had a rough week? I've had a rough week. I'm going to be real with you. Guess what? I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel some of the times throughout the week, but God delivered me. And as we go through those things, let's encourage each other. Say, hey, brother, sister, God's got this. Don't worry about it. He'll take care of you. Just continue to be faithful to him. Continue serving him. Continue to do his will. He will deliver you. We need that encouragement. Amen? We need that. Well, it's 10:45, and I'm going to give you guys some good time here to encourage one another, to practice this, and to edify each other, and we'll be good. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for this book that you have given us. Thank you for, Lord, for Paul really taking the time to pour himself into Timothy. Lord, even though we're done with this, I pray that we would continue to go back to this book to read it. And Lord, as we did a very, I believe, a very detailed study in this, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see some more things that we've missed. Lord, direct us as we leave, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen.